Welcome to the Dwell Richly podcast, a place for church musicians and pastors to be encouraged and equipped as we serve our local churches in song week by week. My name is Heather, and today with us we have
Dan Adams.
Dan, lovely to have you. How are you? Where are you? And tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi Heather, thanks for having me. I'm doing good. I'm on the Isle of Wight. We moved here as a family just over a year ago. So I'm a local church pastor. We're planting a new church on the south coast of the Isle of Wight, which is an island just off the south coast of England.
How big is the island? I don't actually know that. I've been there, but I don't actually know.
It's about 27 miles long and about that high. 140,000 people.
Okay, so tell us a bit about your background as a musician, what sort of things you've been involved in, all that.
Fun, yeah. So I grew up abroad in a Christian family. My parents were missionaries, also a musical family. My dad particularly loved instrumental Baroque music, so every day he would sit down and listen to some Bach or Vivaldi or something. I remember singing with my mum in the car. Yeah, she had some favourites. Loved singing harmonies together and stuff like that. And as we grew up, we'd often kind of accompany singing in church. And as a teenager and as a student, that was one of my main ways of getting involved at church, playing trumpet or bass or drums at a push.
You're an all-rounder. You play a bit of everything.
Yeah, well, jack of all trades. So I've grown up with music and loved playing music in church as well as in other bands and stuff. Yeah, but I didn't study music, so yeah. Now I've spent some time now with some amazing musicians, and yeah, that's been lovely. But I don't consider myself to be. I studied engineering. By the end of uni, I was kind of more excited though about church ministry than working as an engineer. I got married, and after a couple of years of working with boat engines, we moved away, and I had my first ministry role at a little rural church. And a few things happened at once. So I'd been playing in a band, and that stopped. And so I started kind of strumming my granddad's old acoustic guitar around the house and writing little songs. So just putting a melody to a Bible verse, really just for my own benefit. Writing silly songs for the kids. So I've got a good one about a bin lorry, if you want it. And at the same time, I started getting more involved with youth and children's ministry at church, so helping to run a holiday club and a midweek kids group and that kind of stuff. So I started to write some songs for that, which, I mean, none of those have ever seen the light of day, but, you know, they were just for then. And then I had a little group of friends from church when I was a student, and we'd share some of those songs and get feedback and stuff. And one of them was Gareth Lowe. And there came a point where there was this, I think, 3 or 4 month period between him leaving one job and then starting to work for his church. And so we set up this weekly video call, and he made a spreadsheet. He loves a spreadsheet.
Of course, yes.
So he's the organized one. He made a list of the songs that we'd shared together and where we'd got to. And we started talking about, most of the songs seemed to be kind of for kids. And so we started to write some new ones. We got some feedback from some friends, and that helped us to write some better songs. And that was around 2015, I think. And then with some encouragement from friends and family, that led to recording an album, and we've done it under this weird name, Awesome Cutlery.
Yeah, where did the name actually come from? I don't know if I know this story.
Well, I think as we were kind of thinking about putting some songs together, we liked the idea of having some sketches on the album that would set up some of the truths and teach them and connect them with life. And Gareth had done a superheroes holiday club where he had this character, Captain Awesomeness.
Okay.
And I had a similar character from a summer camp, Cutlery Boy, both kind of wannabe superheroes. And we thought, oh, what if they met? And we tried it and it worked. And that just kind of became the working title for the project. And we never came up with anything meaningful that wasn't super cringe. So,
well, my kids still quote both of you, but especially Captain Awesomeness when he says, "I'm sincerely sausages." Honestly, sincerely. Every time they have to say sorry to each other, they say, "Sincerely sausages."
Oh, I'm sorry
so,
about
you
that.
Know, I think they mean it from the heart. It's funny you were saying about the songs that you wrote for the kids' groups and stuff like that, because so you and I did Word Alive Youth Team a few years, didn't we? And I still have one of the memory verses that you wrote for that stuck in my head, because you put it to the Thomas the Tank Engine one. Do you remember that?
Yes. I mean, Thomas the Tank is a tune, isn't it? The original one. I think there's a newer.
Yeah. Oh, it's not as good, is it? No, the original's better. But grow in the grace. And then knowledge of, like, it's still in my head. So you definitely have a gift.
Praise
okay,
God.
So Awesome Cutlery, you've got 3 albums out now. Is there another one incoming?
We're working on a project together with the guys at Joyful Noise.
Amazing.
Which is kind of underway, and we haven't got a timeline for it yet, but we're trying to write some songs around the Ten Commandments, and we're very excited about that. But yeah, I can't announce anything about when it's going to happen because we're okay. just at the songwriting stage. Yeah.
We'll wait to hear more then. All right, so let's talk a little bit about why you think kids' music is important in church. So obviously, when you started picking up your acoustic guitar and playing, that was the sort of stuff that's coming out, probably because you had little kids at the time, I don't know. But what do you think that churches should understand about why singing kids' songs is important?
Yeah, okay, I can do an answer for that. I might just modify the question slightly, but I'm going to ask for some help as well. And can I ask for some help? I've got this little book here, which is by Isaac Watts.
I don't have my glasses on,
It's called Divine and Moral Songs for Children. And I think it was published in like 1715. Can I just read you a couple of bits, which are his answer as to why he's put together a song book for kids. He starts, "My friends, it is an awful and important charge that is committed to you. The wisdom and welfare of the succeeding generation are entrusted with you beforehand and depend much on your conduct. The seeds of misery or happiness in this world and that to come are oftentimes sown very early, and therefore whatever may conduce to give the minds of children a relish for virtue and religion ought in the first place to be proposed to you." So if you're a parent or if you're a pastor, if there are kids in your church, if you know any kids really, that's us, isn't it? And he gives four reasons why he's written songs for children. I'm not going to read them all out, although they're beautifully written. His first one is, "There is a great delight in the learning of truths and duties this way." In other words, it's like it's fun to learn if the truth is in a song. I mean, that's true, isn't it? It's enjoyable to sing. And I think, actually, one of the things that Gareth and I have realized that, you know, we get to enjoy doing it too, making the songs. And I think of a song like, you know, on our last album we had a song called Move Your Body, which is probably the funnest song that we've done, and we just have loads of fun with sax solo and the guys we work with who are our producers, Dan and Matt Weeks, just bring so much as well. But actually what the song really is a song about the theology of the human body. So when I look down at my body, I'm looking at a handmade masterpiece. We're, you know, each one of us uniquely made in the image of God. And yeah.
Which one of you sings the rap bit?
That's Gareth.
Isn't everybody has a biology?
You wouldn't necessarily
I'm seeming like a fangirl right now.
You wouldn't necessarily look at Gareth and think he's a rapper, but he smashed that one. So yeah, I mean, it's fun, but it's like we're singing glorious truth. And I mean, yeah, that's a joy, isn't it? So yeah. Mm. Is a delight in learning truths this way. The second thing he says is, what's learned in verse is longer retained in memory and sooner recollected. So it's like, it's easy to remember. A friend of ours she said a lovely thing about our song. She said it's like a catechism by stealth. And I think probably not many of us are kind of sitting down with our kids and doing lots of kind of question and answer doctrine teaching. But if we can have songs that have got rich doctrinal truths in them, then actually that's what we do. We're catechizing our kids. So Gareth's song God Doesn't Have a Birthday is really a song about the doctrine of God. God doesn't have a birthday, no moment he was made. Or the second verse then says God chose to have a birthday, he came into the world, or something. I don't always get the lyrics right. It's a song about the doctrine of God, but our hope is that then that's sticks in the mind and is kind of something that kids perhaps they don't understand everything that they sing initially, but they're kind of big truths that they can grow up into.
They'll remember them when they're older.
Can I keep going? I realize I'm doing a lot of Isaac Watts here. Isaac says, this will be I'm going to read this whole one because it's really good. This will be a constant furniture for the minds of children, that they may have something to think upon when alone and sing over to themselves. This may sometimes give their thoughts a divine turn and raise a young meditation. That's beautiful, isn't it? And our desire is that songs don't just stick in the mind, but they affect our children's hearts and then kind of lead to hands and feet and mouths and what we do and say. And when we're on our own, when we're with other people, that the songs change the way we live. And then he's got a fourth one. These divine songs may be a pleasant and proper matter for their daily or weekly worship. To sing one in the family is such time as the parents or governors shall appoint. There you go. So, I mean, if you've got a governor or a governess in your home, you can give them some of Isaac's tunes or some good songs
Absolutely.
That are full of biblical truth to sing together.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The thing that I might just modify slightly is, yeah, I think it's great for kids to sing kids' songs, but actually it doesn't have to be kids' songs, does it? It's great for children to sing songs that are full of biblical truth. So I love it when I hear my kids just singing the songs that we've sung at a church on Sunday, or, you know, I want my kids to sing the classic old hymns. That's a great way to learn theology, rich theology, isn't it? Yeah, the plea might be not necessarily that you've got to sing lots of kids' songs, although they're good, but to help your kids to know what they're singing and to give them opportunity to hear songs that are full of theological truth.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I did notice on your, maybe particularly the last album that you guys brought out, there were a couple of songs that I thought, oh, we don't have a lot of kids' songs that are on this theme. My oldest daughter at the minute, her favourite is Oh My Soul, which is quite like, you know, if things are really hard, if I'm really struggling, I will, you know, the way the Psalms do, I will sing of your goodness. And the other one, which really I love, is the one on Revelation with the, what is it, the Black Rider? No, what's it called? The Rider?
The Rider, yeah, the Rider on the White
Rider.
Horse.
I love that. Who has ever written a kid's song on Revelation? That is amazing. Do you think that there's gaps in the kids' repertoire, as it was, that don't often get sung about?
Or? Yeah, so what do we need songs for kids? I mean, the answer really is like, you know, we need songs about every area of life over which Jesus Christ is Lord. So actually, we do need songs about everything, don't we? So, I mean, we want good songs about the kind of basic fundamental truths that we want our kids to know. We want songs about Jesus' death for us and about the glories of being part of church and, you know, about God's word. And, you know, so we want that. Yeah, those songs that you've just mentioned, actually, at times we wrestled as to whether they should make it onto the album. You know, what kind of songs should we be putting forward? But yeah, having a real lament song and, yeah, the song about Jesus as the rider on the white horse, the warrior with the. It feels risky to sing that with children, but it's just such a comfort, isn't it, as a Christian, when sometimes it's so hard and things go so horribly wrong, we have such great confidence that that's who Jesus is, and that he will return.
And you lead into it so well because you have the wee sketch beforehand that's about monsters and. Isn't that right? It's the monster sketch
that
comes just before that.
In awesome, he's just afraid to go to sleep because he thinks there's monsters under his bed.
Yeah, and Jesus is bigger than everything. Like that, it's really cool.
Sometimes we shy away from certain Bible truths, don't we? And we think that that's not child friendly. And yeah, we do want to be age appropriate, but yeah, I mean, I think it's there is a way of teaching every part of the Bible to every age with some work and sensitivity for sure.
Yeah, and then when they grow up and face real things, they have the stuff in their heads that they know already, which is amazing. Okay, so now that you are a vicar, practically what does it look like in your Sunday services? How often do you slot in kids' songs, or how do you make your services accessible to everyone that's there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily want to present what we do as the way to do everything, and we do try and have a child-friendly song most weeks. Yeah, so our kind of pattern is that I think this is fairly common. Children are with us for the first part of the service. We'll open up the scriptures with them, and actually we tend to set up what they're going to do in their groups in that slot, and then choose a song that connects with that, which would be so at some point in that slot we'll do a child-friendly song, and more often than not it's kind of following on from that bit of teaching before they go out to their groups. As Gareth and I have thought about this, one way that we've found it helpful to think about that kind of that time together when children are in, for some churches it's the whole time, or for others it's just the first part, is to think about four different categories of songs actually. So sometimes we talk about, oh, let's put in a kid's song, but we've kind of found it helpful to think about this. So some songs really are children's songs, and actually they're not that adult friendly. There'll be some adults who you know, either they're super action songs and some the kind of actions that you're asking the adults to do is that push too far, or they'll have a certain line in, like our song God Is Bigger has this line about laughing about their underwear. Not everyone loves that, and I guess some people might say, oh, we're not going to sing it on Sundays because of that. So that's a kid's song that's not adult friendly. Then there's like a adult friendly kid's song, which, you know, is a kid's song that adults are happy to sing, and I'm trying to think of an example here.
Light and a Hammer.
It's a Light and a Hammer is one of ours that is that it's It's aimed at the kids. It has got actions that you can do. It's a light and a hammer. It's a fire and a sword. But I think there's a richness to the lyrics. It's not super childish. Then a third one is a child-friendly adult song. So there are songs that we sing in that category. And so I guess that might just be like a 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Some of those kind of Matt Redman songs are good for that. And then the fourth one is an adult song that's not so child-friendly. I think particularly some of the ones with more ancient languages. Not ancient languages. I'm not talking about Hebrew songs. You know, the songs with the these and the thous and the... are not so child-friendly. That doesn't mean don't sing them when the children are around, but perhaps just recognise that category. It might affect the way you introduce a song when children are present. You might point out a turn of phrase that helps them to get into the songs. And we've just found that helpful to have as a little framework. You don't necessarily have to have adult songs and kid songs, but there's perhaps a way of thinking about an array of songs and how you might help children to get involved in singing all of them.
That's really helpful. And actually, that's helpful for me because I do a lot of sort of service planning and figuring out where the songs come in the service. But I don't think that I'd have thought that through as much about if you're singing an adult song when the children are still present, is it a kid-friendly adult song or is it one that'll switch them off? So that's actually really, those are really helpful points.
It's a joy as well, Heather. There's a number of songs out there that are just genuinely all kind of all age songs. And so, I mean, City of Light have done some good work here, haven't they? Yeah. Jesus Strong and Kind is one that lots of people sing. I hope that some of ours on our last album, We All Like Sheep, is a confession song that I hope is, I mean, actually initially it wasn't written as a song for children, but I hope it genuinely is a song for all ages.
Yeah.
That's a delight too.
What about, so moving sort of out of church and into the home? This is a two-part question. So first off, let's talk about parents with little kids. Have you any advice for how to encourage your little kids to be singing not just the normal nursery rhymes, which are wonderful, but also stuff that teaches them about Jesus really early on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things to say, I think. One is to say, I mean, I guess a lot of people who are listening to this podcast will be musical and enjoy music and perhaps be able to play an instrument. And so if you can sit on the floor and play an instrument with your kids, great. But I guess for you and for you, perhaps as you encourage other parents, it's a joy, isn't it, that you don't have to have a musical bone in your body to sing with your kids or to help them to sing songs. So there's loads of ways to use music in a way that is beneficial for our kids. That might mean just the music that you put on in the car or that you put on in the kitchen as you're washing up. It might mean singing a song when you're together. That could be just a song that you've made up. I know one family who every time, like one of their summer holiday traditions was as they drove to their holiday destination in the summer, they would make up a song. So I think they chose a Bible verse beforehand, a psalm or whatever. As they were driving along, they would, as a family, write a song, make up a tune to the song, writing songs. And so for that holiday, every day they would sing that song. And so they had this kind of library of wow. Little Bible songs that they'd made up. And, you know, they weren't going to record those. Those songs weren't for anyone else. It was just a way of using the gift of music and of song to let the word of Christ dwell richly in them as a family. So, yeah, listening to music at home, in the car, making up songs, making up silly songs. I've got a friend who's always, he's got three-year-old and one-year-old. He just makes up little songs with two little lines. And yeah, I'll often catch their little three-year-old just singing a little line. I say, where you get that from? And it's just a song that they've made up at home about Jesus is on the throne. And so you can listen to stuff that other people have made, but don't feel like it has to be some polished, excellent thing to really help your children to grow and learn. It can just be something that you've made up from what you read in the scriptures or from what you know your kids need to have going around in their head as what's called it, furniture for the mind.
When I was growing up as well, we used to sing grace before every dinner. So we would sing, and my family were pretty fairly musical, so there would be like a few harmonies and stuff going on, but we would sing, thank you for the world so sweet, thank you for the food we eat, thank you for the birds that sing, thank you God for everything. And that was just what we did before every single dinner time. Which my poor husband, when he came into that for the first time, was like, what is going on? But, you know, it's still in my head and it's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
And what about moving on then to teenagers? Because now that you have the teenagers, and that's terrifying. So, what about encouraging them and what they listen to and what they don't listen to. And
so I've got a 17-year-old who's really into his music. He's loved kind of teaching himself guitar and drums, and he's just starting to play in bands and that kind of stuff. And I've got a 15-year-old who doesn't seem to be as into music. And actually, I've got a 12-year-old. She's not a teenager technically, but she really likes...
Clean.
She really likes her play. She's learning the ukulele and the guitar and playing. And yeah, I think our approach generally is we want to curate a little bit what our children listen to, and we can particularly curate what they listen to when we're together. But I think we're happy for our children to explore different kinds of music. And I think a great thing to do is to listen to stuff and then to be able to listen to it together and talk about what the words are about, what the message is, what the longing is in a song. Sometimes in a song that is slightly hopeless, in terms of, you know, what it's longing for, actually there are good and beautiful things that we can talk about, and we can, you know, have some good conversations about those things. Yeah, my kids sometimes get frustrated. I think about both, this is both about films and about the songs, that you can end up having this kind of debrief with daddy after everyone. What's going on there? So sometimes it's great just to enjoy music together, isn't it? So we don't always get our kids involved in kind of washing up and stuff, and I don't want to paint a picture of some idyllic household, but just having some beats on when you're washing up and having a bit of a dance around the kitchen actually is, you know, that is enjoying God's good gift to us as well. So yeah, those are some assorted thoughts. I hope that's of some use.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one challenge that we're just working through is that I'm working through with one of our kids is about encouraging them to use their enjoyment of music in God's service as well. Of, I think, not wanting to see this kind of divide between music is something I enjoy out there with my friends and playing in bands, but music at church isn't really for me. And partly that requires a bit of a servant mindset, doesn't it? A ministry mindset, that I might not necessarily that much enjoy the style of music, but I want to serve God's people, and I want to, or perhaps by contributing, actually I can bring some of the music that I enjoy in God's service too. But so yeah, there's a heart work to do there. There's something lovely, isn't there, about like sharing the music you like with your friends and to kind of enjoy it together.
Yeah,
that's one of the, I guess that's one of the challenges of growing up as a Christian, isn't it, that you, yeah, that's less likely to happen if there are Christian artists you listen to. It's just you're less likely to have that point of contact with someone who doesn't.
But that's why it's what you said was really helpful, in that you can appreciate the music and the artistry and that kind of stuff without necessarily agreeing with the message of the song. Or you can listen to harpsichord in the car with your dad, if it was Bach.
Oh yeah, my dad is a big harpsichord head. But I even sometimes, like, the thing that this person who's singing is longing for is a good thing, like, you know, is a security or a kind of love returned, or, you know, whatever it is,
hope or peace, or yeah, something,
or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. That longing can only be satisfied in Jesus. And I mean, actually, I guess that, yeah, it'd be great if we were equipping our kids to have that kind of conversation with their friends. Pop songs that really resonate, they connect, don't they? Because they kind of connect with how we feel and what we care about and what we long for. And there are clearly opportunities there to talk about the one who satisfies our deepest longings, and who can do that uniquely.